And, well, after you have been corseted, said the tailor, your figure will be more shapely, and it will look better with those long, feathery wings.
Okay, said Lisa.
Now, this is beautiful, said the tailor, after she had laced Lisa so tightly into her corset that Lisa complained she couldn't breathe. That's because you've never worn corsets before, and your body will need to adjust. Luckily, fairy figures are not so stubborn as human ones, said the tailor, and your figure will shape itself quite nicely. If you wear this for 3 weeks and only take it off when you are going to take a bath, you will have the perfect figure in 3 weeks or so.
3 weeks, said Lisa. Oh, gods.
Well, now is the time to think about things, said Ligari. If you want to stay here, it would be a good time to think about it.
I'm not ready, said Lisa.
Fine, said Ligari.
After this was put on, a beautiful gown of sparkling white and gold was placed over her head and nestled quite nicely among the petticoats and hoops that were slung about Lisa's form. Then a beautiful hood was placed over her white and gold hair.
Oh, you look so beautiful, said Ligari, touching the blue velvet hood, sending shimmering gold flecks dancing against the light. Now you are suitable to meet the public.
And I'll have a name too, said Lisa.
Yes.
And from then on will people have to call me Highness?
Yes, said the Queen.
Now, let's go. They went down corridors, and Lisa hoped that she wouldn't get lost later on. But she was assured that someone would always be there to help her. And if anybody wasn't, well, that was the wrong end of things for them, wasn't it? Then they heard a blast of trumpets as Ligari, in her beautiful white and gold matching gown and blue hood, stepped with Lisa, clasping hands, beautiful white and gloved, walking down the center of a beautiful great hall. The lower tables craned their necks around to see the pair of them in their wide, sweeping gowns, their wings folded gracefully behind them. The tailor had also said that sometimes fairies wore wing covers to cover their wings to make their accessories more beautiful and to stand out more. And Lisa asked how one was to fly with wing covers, and the tailor had promptly and politely said in her most mortified voice that one never flew with wing covers on. That was not the point. As they passed from the lower hall up to the upper, and they both stepped up the 12 steps to the dais, and stood behind their chairs at the high table, the whole crowd knelt on one knee, clasping their hands before them as in prayer, and bowing their heads respectfully, the men doffing their hats, the women bowing their heads and bodies more fully. Their gowns splayed out as they kept the position of the curtsy. The Queen raised her hand. Lisa had to start thinking of her not as Ligari, but as the Queen. The queen raised her gloved hand, and everyone rose from their position. Nothing but the sound of fine cloth moving was all that was heard. As the queen lowered her hand, and everyone sat at the tables. Then the queen sat down, and a trumpet sounded as the first dishes were brought out. "Just do as I do," said the queen, as Lisa looked at her place where many pieces of silverware lay. "You'll have your own set of silverware, and the manners to learn how to use it. But for now, just watch me." After each the queen and Lisa were served a clear broth with little bits of herb floating in them, the queen raised her hand, and the hall that was murmuring quietly shushed. It seemed that everyone bowed their hands and clasped their hands in front of them as in prayer. And so Lisa did the same. Then the queen picked up one of the spoons, dipped it lightly in the broth, and delicately sipped it. As soon as this was done, the whole hall fell to their broth. "Wow," said Lisa. I never would have thought that you had that much power. I mean, that people would sit there and not eat until you've eaten." "Lady Mother," said Lisa, "the queen commands the most respect, and her daughter after her. It has been that way for 5,000 years, said a very haughty voice, as the queen whipped her head around. "Countess Vaisha." "Your majesty," said the countess, curtsying to the queen. "I just wish to meet this beautiful girl, who is undoubtedly yours." "Yes," said the queen. "I was going to make an announcement about it this evening." "Well, I only wished good speed. And I'm glad to see that you are back from your journey. 'Twas a long one, I'm sure. I've never been to the human world, and never will have a likeness to go, Lady Vaisha," said the queen, and her voice became very cold. "We will certainly speak on my journey, but for now, please return to your seat." "Yes, your majesty." Then the countess raised her hand to Lisa and said, "Lisa, is it?" The queen gasped. "You go too far. Tonight she receives her name. And by pain of death, I will not have you repeating it around until I have given the announcement." "Yes, your majesty," said Lady Vaisha. And she swept a glance at Lisa. "You're dismissed," said the queen. And the countess swooped her gown around her as she crossed down the 12 steps of the dais. "Does it happen often?" asked Lisa. "They're courtiers, and normally I would be fine listening to them. But Lady Vaisha, Countess Vaisha, does not know always when it is time to be quiet and when it is not," said the queen. After the clear broth, there was a small dish of cheese and shrimp and garlic on tiny loaves of bread. And Lisa bit into these delicately, watching the queen. Her movements became the queen's, and through all the courses,